You can open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. I read these verses this past week, and I was challenged by the words that are here. Just want to share briefly from these verses. We'll also bring in some other scripture as we go along. I want to think about the rock, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That's where my thoughts will center this morning. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. First of all, as I look at these verses, it says in verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. As we think about the verses that follow here about being a lively stone in this building, this spiritual house, this temple of the Lord, it's prefaced with, if so be that ye have tasted. And so I'd like to just stop and take a moment and ask ourselves, have we tasted of the goodness of the Lord? Have we tasted of the goodness of the Lord? Because if we have not tasted of the goodness of the Lord, then we cannot claim to be one of these stones in God's holy temple. Now, this word tasted does not mean to take something and test it, like taking some food and testing it to decide whether it's good or it's bad. That's not the idea of this word. The idea of this word is experience. Have you experienced it? Is it something that is part of your life? Is Jesus part of your life? Have you experienced Jesus? Have you tasted, experienced Jesus? Are you in a living relationship with the Lord Jesus? And if you are, then we can claim these promises. We can be one of those, we are one of those living stones that are part of this holy temple of the Lord. I'd like to think a little bit about the context here around these verses. For the Jews were a God-centered people. If you read through the Old Testament, you will read things like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The mountains and the hills sing and the trees clap their hands. The Lord owns the cattle on a thousand hills. You see, the Jews were very much God-centered people. Everything, all natural life pointed towards God. And I hope that is the same for us as God's people. We should see all of life as centering around God, God the Creator. But sadly, we live in a day today where many people try to divorce God from natural life. And so when they look at the hills, they don't think about God. When they look at trees, they don't think about God. But for the Jews, they did. And so therefore, it's very likely that whenever these words that were penned here by Peter were read by a Jew of that day, that they would immediately think of the temple building. And so I'd like to just go back to 1 Kings chapter 6. We're going to be looking at pretty many verses this morning. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to these verses. Sometimes I just read verses that I have written down, and I think I'm going to try to take the time this morning to just go to those verses and read them. It'll also give the translator a chance to find it in his Bible and read it in Spanish. So 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. This is the temple that Solomon built, and it says there, "And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building." So here we understand that the stones of the building, the temple building, Solomon built, were hewn off-site. They were made to fit together. Now, history tells us that when these stones were brought to the building site of the temple, there was one huge stone that the builders weren't sure where it fit. And so they pushed it aside. They pushed it over the side of the mount there in the Kidron Valley. And there it lay until later they realized their mistake. And it was a very much needed stone in the building project. The stone was brought back and put in place. The biggest stone of the whole building. And as according to my research, that stone is still in its place in Jerusalem. You can see it in the old city there in Jerusalem. And that is the cornerstone. Later in Ezra's day, when the temple was rebuilt, the stone remained. And later when Herod improved the structure, the stone still remained. So for the Jew, as they thought about this idea of being a holy temple of the Lord, what Peter was talking about here, no, more than likely their minds went to the temple, the temple building. Their minds could have also gone to messianic prophecy. So Peter is in this portion of Scripture, he is quoting two different verses in the Old Testament. The one is in Isaiah 28 and verse 16. I invite you to go there. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." And then the other verse that Peter references here in his writings here in 1 Peter is Psalms 118, verse 22. And you can go there as well. Psalms 118 and verse 22. "The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner, Verse 23, this is the Lord's doings. It is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus also, in his days here on earth, presents himself as this cornerstone. We find that in Matthew chapter 21. I'd like to go there. This is also in some of the other Gospels, but Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. It says here, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doings. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Jesus had just got done giving a parable about a lord that had a vineyard, and he lent it out to husbandmen, and he took a journey. And when the time of harvest came, he sent servants to partake of the harvest, to bring of the harvest. One servant they stoned, and another servant they killed. And so therefore, he finally said, I'll send my son. Surely they will reverence my son. And when his son appeared to receive from the vineyard, it says, the husbandmen saw the son, and they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And so then Jesus said these words from Psalms, proclaiming himself that cornerstone. Peter also used these words of prophecy before the Jewish council when he was questioned about the miracle of healing that happened to the lame man at the temple. That's in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. I don't think we'll read those. But Peter used these words as he explained to the council that this act of healing that takes place was for the power of Jesus. This Jesus that you reject. And he uses the verse there in Psalms. I'd like to now think about a few observations or challenges for us that we can look at from this text here in Peter, focusing on the thought of being a lively stone and Jesus, that chief cornerstone of this spiritual building, this spiritual house, this temple of the Lord. First of all, coming to the living stone, Jesus Christ, brings us closer together. I'd like to think about that thought that as we come to Jesus, as we anchor ourselves to that cornerstone, Jesus Christ, it brings us closer together as a brotherhood. Verse 4 and verse 5 talks about coming unto a living stone, coming to Jesus. This Jesus that was disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. And as we come to Jesus, we become a lively stone in this spiritual building. Ephesians says it this way, it's a building fitly framed together unto a holy temple in the Lord. And so I'd like to think about that as we come to Jesus and we could become part of this spiritual dwelling. We're stones, and we're stones that are shoulder to shoulder. We come together. Because we're united in Christ. Maybe just a little bit of a natural illustration here. My family can be sitting around on the couches in the living room, and all I have to do is take out my cell phone and look at a picture of a new dating couple and make an exclamation, and guess what happens? All of a sudden, everybody comes together, and they're all looking at this one object. And it's because of that thing, this new couple or whatever it is, that's what brings everybody together. Suddenly, everybody's shoulder to shoulder. We're all trying to see this thing. And so Jesus, that chief cornerstone, as we come to Jesus, we become a lively stone in his building. We're unified together as blocks, building blocks, blocks in the building. We're unified together. And so, as we come to Jesus, it brings us together. Just like to think of a few practical ways maybe that we come together. As we come to God, as we draw close to God, it draws us closer together. And I had to think of a few different scriptures. One scripture is Galatians 6:22. Talks about bearing one another's burdens. Philippians 2:4 talks about, says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And so, if we're focused on Jesus, if we're anchored to the cornerstone, this chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, we're interested in the well-being of our brothers. We're not just looking out for ourselves. We're looking, our interests are in our brothers and sisters. And so therefore, as we come to Jesus and anchor ourselves on this, on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, it brings us together as brothers and sisters. And we care about each other. As we anchor on Jesus, the Bible tells us that our minds become renewed. And our thoughts are pure thoughts. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Again, a practical example of how when we come and anchor ourselves on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, and become a lively stone in this holy temple of the Lord, how that we're drawn closer together. Because suddenly, we're not thinking about our agenda and our things and what serves me, but we're thinking about those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, those things that are honest. And you know, our thoughts have a lot to do with our relationship with others. You'll never have a good relationship with somebody that you can't think good about. Just doesn't work that way. And as we come to Jesus, our thoughts are purified, and our relationships should be strengthened and should bring us closer. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Love. It takes love for meaningful relationships. And we love God because he first loved us. John says that, 1 John 4. It also says, if a man say that I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. And so therefore, our love for God directly affects our relationships and our love for others. And so as we grow close to God and as we love him, we draw closer together in relationship with our brothers and sisters. The second point I'd like to look at here, practical thoughts about this cornerstone, Jesus Christ. The cornerstone sets the direction for all other stones in the building. In a natural sense, this is very true. I'm not a builder, but I've seen some building projects take place. And if you want to put walls up in a building, you start with the corners. You set the corner, and when you set the corner, that determines the trajectory or where that building is going to end up or lay. It's no different in this spiritual house. The chief cornerstone sets the direction or the trajectory for all the other stones in the building. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And he is the stone upon which all other stones depend. He sets the course. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, talks about the stones are stones in which, maybe I'll turn to that. I think I got something a little bit amiss here in my notes. Ephesians 2, 22. Ephesians 2, 22. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. It's talking here about that we're builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. These stones, these live stones, are stones in which the Spirit dwells. Peter, in our text verses in Peter says that this spiritual house, or from this spiritual house, we offer spiritual sacrifices. And I like that thought, because it goes hand in hand with what we read in Romans 12:1, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And so, as we have Jesus, the chief cornerstone, who sets the course for all other stones for this temple of God. And these lively stones, Peter talks about, wherein the Spirit of God dwells. From those stones we offer up sacrifices, our bodies, as a living sacrifice for God, for God's service. So if Jesus is truly the chief cornerstone in our life, then he will determine the direction of everything in our life. If Jesus is the chief cornerstone in my life, then he determines the direction for everything that happens in my life. If Jesus is your cornerstone, if Jesus is my cornerstone, then you'll respond to your enemies the way Jesus told you to. Love them. If Jesus is your cornerstone, then you're going to believe what he believes about marriage. If Jesus is your cornerstone, then you will seek to do what he did while he was on this earth, to reach out and to care for other people. Third point I have here, Jesus is the stumbling stone to those who reject him. Jesus is the stumbling stone to those who reject him. In the verses we read in Matthew, Jesus refers to the rock of offense, stumbling stone. We know that the religious leaders of Jesus' day did not accept his divinity, but rather they stumbled over his teachings. It didn't fit their agenda. But today people still stumble over this stone, Jesus Christ. They're unwilling to change their sinful ways. They're unwilling to accept the claims of the gospel. And they continue on in their living their lives for themselves. False religions deny the deity of Jesus. They stumble over Jesus, the chief cornerstone. They do not accept Jesus as God's son. And sadly, the end result for the unrepentant stumbler, the person that stumbles over the stone, the Bible says he will be crushed. He will be crushed by the stone. So the unrepentant stumbler will be crushed by the stone. I had to think of some words of a song. It says like this: what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? And so, as we think about this chief cornerstone, it calls us to a response. Will we accept Jesus into our lives? Will we allow him to set the trajectory, the course of our life? Or will we reject him? And if you reject him, then there is a day of judgment coming when you will be crushed if you do not repent. And so let's make Jesus the chief cornerstone in our lives. The fourth point I'd like to look at is, to the believer, Jesus is a precious cornerstone. Jesus is a precious cornerstone. Why is Jesus a precious cornerstone? Well, Jesus is the only way to have a relationship with God. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we want to come into a relationship with Almighty God, if we want to be accepted of him, we must make Jesus Lord of our life. He must be the chief cornerstone. Jesus is a precious cornerstone because he is the only way. Without the blood of Christ, we are alienated. We are aloof from God. We are dead in our sins. And so Jesus is the only way to come into a relationship with the Father. And that makes Jesus very precious, a precious cornerstone. Verse 6 here of our text talks about the fact that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. So Jesus is precious because those that believe on Jesus will never be confounded. They'll never be overthrown or defeated. It's the idea of the word confounded. Those that believe on Jesus will not be confounded, will not be overthrown or defeated. And that makes Jesus a precious cornerstone. Yes, we must keep ourselves in the love of Christ. We must be diligent in our walk with the Lord. We cannot allow the things of this world to draw us aside. It takes work on our part, but Jesus has done everything for us to make it possible to arrive victorious. And so Jesus is precious because as we follow him, as we establish our lives upon the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, we will not be overthrown. We will not be moved. We will not be defeated. Romans 8:35 says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, there's nothing in this life that can separate us from the love of Jesus, from being connected to this chief cornerstone, as long as we keep ourselves in the love of Christ. And so that makes Jesus a precious cornerstone. We can count on him. We know that he will take us through. So I hope that we can take these challenges to heart, take it with us this week, and let's continue to draw closer to Jesus as chief cornerstone. Let's be one of those lively stones in the building, this holy temple of God. Lively stones because the Spirit of God is dwelling within us. Spirit of God is working through us. And as we take our place in this building of God, we bring these sacrifices to God. We offer our life, our entire life and being to the Lord for his service. So God bless you to that end. Let's kneel.